Reading this morning is from Ephesians, and it's chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 1 to verse 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Church life, and this morning's sermon is entitled The Body of Christ. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the passage that was read for us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. We're going to have an overview of that passage and see how God is working on our character, see how God is working towards our unity, see how God gives diversity in the gifts that he gives us and the work that he's called us to. So, first of all, in the first two verses, see what God is speaking to us this morning regarding our character. Now, we know what the church is. We've seen that. The church is a group of people who have repented of sin, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, been born again of the Holy Spirit, and so now Jesus is their Lord. And we meet together, and we want to be practical and see what the Lord says to us as a church this morning. And you can't be more practical than this, because in the first verses, this is what the Lord is calling us to be. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so this is the command for us this morning. It's a tremendous command, isn't it? This is what he's looking for in us, that we should become more like Jesus in humility. Now, the Christian is in a unique position to have a balanced view of self, because we recognize what the Bible teaches about the human heart. We don't think we're absolutely wonderful and with a bee's knees, because we understand that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, so that we know our flaws and our sins. And the Holy Spirit convinces us one by one of our sins. And this is a wonderful thing that God does. It doesn't convict me, of all your sins. So I can look at the congregation and know the sins in your heart. It convinces me of my sins. And so he lets me understand my sin against him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to puff ourselves up and think we're absolutely fantastic, because we know in reality we're not. But we haven't got a low esteem, self-esteem, because we're also taught by the Holy Spirit that we are very, very precious in God's eyes. We're the apple of his eye, and he's loved us from all eternity. And so we're very happy to know that God loves us as we are. Now that's a perfect balance, because it clothes us with humility, not self-hate. If God loves us and thinks that we're worth sending his only begotten son to die for us, then we have a great value of human life. And so we can never think of ourselves as total rubbish and terrible when God put such a price upon us. And so we're in that unique position of being clothed with humility. That's what we desire. And we want gentleness. Now, we want gentleness because this is such a part of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I love this verse where the Lord is inviting us to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. What an invitation from Jesus this morning. And then he encourages us to come to him. And he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And that really is his invitation to us, that he is approachable because he is not only humble, but gentle as well. And so the Lord says to us this morning, what's the Lord looking for as he looks upon us, looks into our hearts? He's seeking that humility, is seeking gentleness, is seeking patience. That's the other thing that's told us here, that he desires for us to be patient because he is patient with us, of course. And so he wants us to learn patience. Impatience is caused when people just really are selfish, isn't it? If somebody's selfish, and they see other people just really as a means to an end for doing what they aim to do, then of course they're going to be impatient when other people aren't contributing as they think they should. But if we are not selfish, if we are looking to the Lord and we understand the tremendous patience that he has with us daily, then that enables us to be patient with others. And so this is what the Lord is asking for. Very practical. Things to do right at the start of the sermon. And then to bear with one another in love. That's what the Lord is asking us as a church to be. He desires us to be humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. And love is the heart of all this. Now, these things are more important than the job you have, more important than wealth or what the world considers success. Because the world really looks at things very differently, doesn't it? And so if somebody's going to do well, then they'll have achieved something fantastic. And they'll be able to live in a big house and drive a fabulous car. And the world will go, oh, hooray for them. That's really great. Now, Christians think completely differently. Okay, they might have wealth, they might not have wealth. But that really is not very important. What is important is what the Lord's doing in a person. And you find a person who's humble, gentle, patient, and bears in love with one another. You find a person like that. What a blessing. What a fantastic blessing to be like that. So these are our desires. So God is working on our character. But he's also working on our unity as a church. So from verse 3 to 6, verse 3 again gives us something to do. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit gives us unity. One of the things the Holy Spirit does when a person becomes a Christian, then the evidence of them becoming a Christian is they know of the Lord Jesus Christ. They understand that he's the Son of God and he's a real human being. They know right things about Jesus. Their lives are changed. They no longer want to live in sin, which is grieving to their new Lord. They want to please their new Lord, And the third characteristic of a Christian, as laid down by John in his first epistle, is that these people have a newfound love one for another. There's a reason for that. It's because we understand now that we are brothers and sisters, that we are family. And so what the Lord is teaching us here is that that unity in the Spirit, in our spirits, that unity is given by the Holy Spirit the moment we become a Christian. But we have a responsibility to maintain that unity. We can't take it for granted. Because if we say bad things about somebody and cause somebody else to think bad thoughts against that person over there, then that splits us up. So we've got to watch how we speak, how we behave, because the aim is that we're to maintain unity. We're to think in such a way that will bring us together rather than separate. So that's what the Lord would have us do as a church. Keep the unity that the Spirit has granted to us through the bond of peace. And then we have these seven characteristics of how we are united. What is it that glues us together as the people of God? Well, we all have this in common. We are one body. We're one body. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and we are his body. Now, that is a fabulous picture. There are all sorts of pictures in the New Testament about the church. We looked upon, on occasions, as a temple, as holy, living stones, where God is building a temple, placing us next to each other. We're looked upon as Jesus is looked upon as a vine, and we are the branches. So if we remain in him and he remains in us, then we will bear fruit. And we're looked upon as a family with a heavenly father. But here we have this idea of a body. The Lord Jesus Christ as the head, and we as a body. Now, we've got to learn in our society, we're so individualistic, aren't we? We really sort of have this mentality that our religion's our own business, okay? That's why English people very often say we don't talk about politics or religion. Well, everybody's talking about both nowadays, which I'm very pleased about. But the fact is that it's not an individualistic thing, because the understanding of the church is the Lord Jesus is the head, and then we are all joined together. We are part together of the body of Christ. And so God is not just seen us as individuals. And so that means we obviously function together. And so there's one body. There are not several bodies. And the local church, if you like, is just a little cameo of the great church worldwide. And it's one of the greatest joys of a pastor to actually see the body of Jesus functioning in reality. It was like that last week when you've got a team of people, when you've got people who are all working to the same thing. And that's what the church is. So we recognize that we've got to think collectively. We can't just think individually. We have one Spirit. The same Spirit that convinced me of sin, convinced you of sin. The same Spirit that gave us new birth is at work in all of us. And the same Spirit that is making us more like Jesus Christ by the fruit of the Spirit is at work in each one of us. We are all called to one hope. We're all pilgrims on a destination, with a destination rather. We're on this journey where we're all heading for heaven. We have all these things in common. We have one Lord. The Lord that saved you, save me, and we all serve him. We have one faith. We are told in the scripture to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's the body of truth that we hold to, as taught in the scripture. There is one baptism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized with one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so that's so clear how the Lord sees us. And so we were baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Water baptism, of course, when we were baptized in water, is a picture of what God has done spiritually in reality. So we are all united in these ways, with one faith, one baptism, and of course with one God and Father. So we obviously are working as one, with Christ as the head. These are the things that unify us. That's why the scriptures say constantly, prefer one another. Esteem your brother more highly than you esteem yourself. Jesus told us that he gives us a new commandment to love one another. Nothing new about that. It was the extent which was the newness of that commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So this is what's important in life. More important than anything else. Christ building his church, and we have this fabulous privilege of being together. And so brothers and sisters and church is just so, so precious. So precious that the Lord Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, and that he is building the church. And so it's a massive privilege, a real massive privilege to be a member. And that word is such a biblical word, a member, one of another, so that we are the body of Christ. And of course, a body can do so much more than an individual arm. It gets a bit freaky if we start thinking like this, doesn't it? But if there's a leg over there and an arm over there and a nose over there, it's really not a lot of, you can't do much with that. But when it's all joined together with Christ as the head, that's absolutely wonderful. And we are united in all these things with one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. And then the third thing is our diversity, because that's what unifies us. But the Lord, and this is a wonderful thing, doesn't want us all to be the same, because we're all different. And that's what verse 7 teaches. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And so that is why he says, and then he quotes Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he let captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So grace and gifts are put together there. And God's grace, his mercy, his enabling that he grants to us are linked with gifts. And he gives different types of gifts. And in verse 8 to 10, some of the gifts there are listed. In verse 11 onwards, he lists some of the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. There's a number of passages of scripture which list different gifts that God gives. None of them is an exhaustive list. So none of them is an absolute full list. You can't put all the little passages of scripture together and do a big list and then say, right, which gift have I got? Because those are just examples of the many gifts that God gives. So it's our responsibility now to think, right, we are brothers and sisters. We are one. We are the body of Christ. We want to function now to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has so planned by the working of his spirit and through his word that here are a people gathered together who represent Christ. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece while here on this earth. And so when we function together, when we work together, using the gifts that God has given to us, then that is a glorious thing. And it's our responsibility to say, okay, Lord, what would you have me be? What would you have me do? What is my role in this? And we're not just looking for official titles. It's a person's character and so on. A friendly person, a warm, welcoming person can be such a blessing to the church just through the character. So when I'm talking about gifts, I'm not talking about specific tasks like Sunday school teacher or deacon or something like that. It's to do with our character, how we fit together, how we function together. But you notice that all those gifts have something in common, that they all work in harmony to actually prepare God's people for service. So the specific gifts mentioned here are preparation gifts, gifts which are used so that each one of us may benefit from this and be brought into service. And so the Lord is looking for a body which is really functioning, hands that work, and a nose that works, and eyes that work. And so everything is functioning. Now, this is what we desire to be as a church. And this is why, I mean, if I can speak personally, I'm so thankful for brothers and sisters and for each one of us, because we're so precious in the eyes of the Lord. And I remember hearing a chap who was working in Ireland. This was absolutely years ago. And he was really thankful for the fellowship he was receiving, because he said, I can go weeks without coming across a Bible-believing Christian. Now, this chap was working in Southern Ireland many, many years ago. And this is just across the water. Now, I'm not saying there aren't Christians in Ireland. Of course, there are. But the fact is that geographically, if you live in particular places, it's a long, long way to find another Christian. Now, increasingly, I think that's true in certain parts of this country. So to have each other, to have encouragement, to have people who love the Lord, to have people who are aiming to serve him is a wonderful thing. So what we're aiming for as a church is to bring glory to God by being made more like the Lord Jesus Christ, by becoming holy and by reaching out to the people round about. So the task of the church is really very simple. We want to be like Christ, we want to grow to be like him, and we want to reach out and tell people about Jesus. So each one has different gifts, and these gifts can be used to edify each other, to make us more like the Lord Jesus, and to reach out. And so we're working as one in that, in those areas. So the aim of the service that we are being prepared for is so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the health of the Church of Jesus Christ. We desire the church to be healthy. We want it built up. We don't want to be a diseased church. We don't want to be a feeble and weak church. We want to be built up. We want to be brought to a greater knowledge of the Son of God. We want to reach unity and maturity. These are the aims spelt out for us in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. So we're working together. It's not an individualistic thing. We need each other to become holy. We need each other to reach out to others. We need each other to promote holiness, because everything's to be done in a way of edification. How can I encourage the people of God today? What can I say to the people of God? What can I do for the people of God today? How can we aid them in this common objective that we have to be holy and to be like the Lord Jesus? How can we work together to reach out, to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus? All this is seeped in prayer, and it's all working in the same direction, so that these gifts given to the church, the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so on, just as an example, they are preparing the way so that everybody may contribute to the going forward of the church. So that is our work, so that we might be delivered, in verse 14, from being blown all over the place by any false teaching. So that when new ideas come and when new speakers come, and in this age of communication travels so fast, and we recognize that there is such a thing as truth. Jesus is the only name named under heaven by which we must be saved. He is the only Christ. He is the only way of salvation. Many will come and say there's alternative ways. We know how the Lord Jesus wants us to live. He wants us to live for God and for other people. Love God, love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself, and so on. We know these fundamentals, that all the time There are people who will, by cunning and craftiness, deceive people by their scheming. Now, that's happening consistently. I'm not paranoid about this. I'm just realistic that continually there's wrong teaching. So we want to help each other, and we want to be delivered from falsehood, and we want to be delivered to speaking in truth and in love, growing up into Him who is our head. So we want to mature. We want to journey together. It's so much easier journeying together. And there are dear Christian people in different parts of the world who are just isolated, and they've nobody else. Now, all this means we have got to try and foster. We've got to work on this. We've got to maintain the unity of the church. And in this incredibly individualistic society in which we live, then we've got to foster this family, this sense of belonging, this sense of helping. This is why we introduced a social calendar not long since, because we want to know each other, don't we? We want to spend time with each other. And so we don't just want to live our own lives and then we go to church on Sunday and that's the end of it. We want really to be a part of the body of Christ, where we are helping to edify, helping to encourage, helping to build up. And that's our aim. And that's all that is Holy Spirit work, isn't it? When you look at what the Lord wants us to do this morning, then our reaction is, Lord, please help us. Please help us do that. Because I don't know about you, we're all different. And there's a big bit of me, you know, that's a bit of a hermit. I could sit up Penistone Hill and not bother with anybody for days, given half a chance, I think. And you look at Scripture and you say, well, perhaps that's not what God wants me to do. And so we are all different. But the fact of the matter is, we need to work together to really promote the Lord Jesus. And so I hope that's encouraging, that you're a part of that. It's challenging, certainly it's challenging, because we say, right, Lord, how can I contribute towards the building up of the saints? How can I contribute to reaching out, this service that you're calling us to do? But the encouragement is that we really are a part of that. We are a part of it. And I remember reading, I might get this wrong actually, but I remember reading somebody who was related to Princess Diana. Some of you might have read this and can help me out a bit with it. But she helps homeless people. And she made a comment. She got a bit of stick for it, but I understood exactly what she meant. She said she almost feels envious sometimes. She's a very rich person, this person. And she said, I almost feel envious sometimes of homeless people because they know what to do with their life. They have an aim in life. They wake up in the morning and they have an aim. They're trying to achieve somebody, something. They're trying to get a home. They're trying to get their life sorted out. And this dear girl who said that has everything. And so she doesn't really know what to do when she wakes up in the morning. Doesn't really know what her life's about. She hasn't really got an aim. And I thought, I understand that perfectly. And for Christians, it's absolutely wonderful to be part of the Lord's people, the family of God, with our Father, to be part of the building of this temple, to be attached to the vine as branches, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be His body on this earth. And that is just such a wonderful lifestyle. Lord, help me to fulfill what you want me to do, to function to the building up of the Lord's people.